Hello and welcome back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife Victoria, we own and operate the hand car washing business located in Churchill, Tennessee. We're over there in the Powell Shopping Center, and it's called The Wash and Word. And we call it The Wash and Word because of, well, the obvious compound word, wash. We do hand car washing there, and the word, we also do these messages. We are a verse-by-verse Bible teaching business ministry. That's the description of us. And we bring forth these messages because we believe that the entire counsel of all of God's Word is so vital to a Christian's life, so vital to the world that we live in today. And we see such a lack of the fullness of God's Word being preached. So this is what we have decided we're going to do, and this is how we do it. We bring these messages to you on the radio here on WMCH, 8:30 a.m. Monday through Friday. You can come by the parking lot. We play them through a radio transmitter that extends out into the parking lot. You just tune to 107.1 FM, and you can hear this week's sermons playing 24 hours a day. You can just come by anytime and tune your radio. You can also go to the washandword.com website and find out information about the business, prices, services, that kind of thing, and more about the ministry. And finally, if you want to hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching live, I preach over at Abundant Life Fellowship on Old Union Road over by the Churchill Community Pool on 6 o'clock p.m. on Sunday nights. We're currently going through the Book of Matthew there. So if you'd like to come out and hear live verse-by-verse Bible teaching, join us at Abundant Life Fellowship, 6 p.m. Sunday nights. Let's get back into the Word, and we are in Ecclesiastes, Solomon's greatest work, in my opinion. And in chapter 10, we've been going through these words. A lot of these words are written in chapter 10 like proverbs, and so we're kind of taking them one or two verses at a time and just doing a little bit of exposition upon them. A lot of what we've already read in verse 10, or chapter 10, rather, it's pretty self-explanatory. We've made a few comments on a couple of the verses. And again, you can go to washandword.com and listen to yesterday's and all of our archive messages by clicking on the media tab. So picking up now in verse 10 of chapter 10, Solomon says, "If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success." Let's stop there because he uses the analogy of an axe and a dull blade, and he says that more strength is needed, which is true. If it's dull, you got to put more effort into it. But then he says, but skill will bring success. You know, a dull axe takes a lot longer to cut down a tree. In fact, it takes a lot longer to cut down a tree with a dull axe than it would to take a few minutes and sharpen it. So what Solomon is saying here, and you can probably put it into an application point that says, wisdom lies in preparation. Wisdom lies in preparation. In other words, it is wise to be prepared. It is wise to prep the things that you are attempting to do. There's no greater example than trying to cook Thanksgiving dinner. And if you ever cooked Thanksgiving dinner for, a large number of people, the key to success, the key to getting everything out around the same exact time is prep. Prepping up as much as you can so that when the job is actually at hand, you will find success. And that goes for pretty much anything you're about to do, whether it's painting a room, or remodeling or, pressure cleaning. Or, hey, preaching a sermon. It's all about the prep work. What I'm doing right now, that's the easy part. When a preacher preaches a message, it's all the hours behind the words being spoken that really counted. That's the axe sharpening part, if we want to use this proverb. That's the axe sharpening part of anything that ever gets done that's worth doing. So wisdom lies in preparation. The preparation is the key to success. Thank you, Solomon. Good word. Verse 11. If a snake bites before it is charmed, there is no profit for the charmer. Okay, I'll bite. Apparently, snake charming was a big thing back then, and apparently it was an entertainment, whereas the snake charmer would charm up the snake, and people would, I guess, throw money, much like a street performer would do. But if the snake bit him, he says, before it gets charmed, and obviously there's no profit for the charmer. How can we put that into an application point? Well, let's call it this. Exercise wisdom before it's too late. So in verses 10 and 11, we have wisdom lies in preparation. And now we have exercise wisdom before it's too late. In other words, during that preparation, before you do a particular thing, prep for it, pray about it, exercise as much wisdom before you do anything, because if you do it after, it just might be too late. A good example might be a marriage. You know, there are some things you just don't say to your wives. Isn't that right, guys? You know, and a lot of marriages fail because men have said things that you just can't take back and you can't unhear, and it damages marriages. No amount of wisdom can cover certain things that have already been said. So he's saying exercise wisdom beforehand. Like a stain. If you get a stain, they say you should put water on it right away. But if you let it set, then water becomes useless to that stain. It will do no effect and no good at all. Let's move on. Verse 12 through 14. Words from a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is consumed by his own lips. At the beginning, his words are folly. At the end, they are wicked madness. All right. What does that mean? Well, let's keep reading. No one knows what is coming. Who can tell what will happen after him? All right. So what is Solomon saying here? In a nutshell, if we put it into an application point, it would be this. Avoid conversations, dialogues, and discourses that are full of words but devoid of sentences. Avoid conversations, dialogues, and discourses that are full of words but devoid of sentences. He says, words from a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is consumed by his own lips. The beginning of his words are folly, and the end is wicked madness, and the fool multiplies his words. He's saying that, you know, there are a lot of people that can talk, and they can just talk and talk and talk, but they're not saying anything. They're not making complete sentences. And whatever end you find yourself on, whether it's the one doing the speaking or the one suffering through the hearing of such a conversation, don't do it. It's what he's warning us against. Avoid those kind of conversations. Because listen, there are people that can talk and talk and talk and say nothing at all. And I don't want to hear it. Don't be pointing the finger at the radio right now. Politicians, masters at talking and not saying anything. They have no structure sometimes, no form. It's just a matter of putting the words together to make it sound good. And Solomon says, stop doing that. It's just not good. Verse 15, a fool's work wearies him. He does not know the way to town. That's a good one. That reminds me of Psalm 14:1 says that the fool says in his heart that there is no God. And since the Bible says that the definition of foolishness is admitting that there is no God, then according to Solomon, that same fool doesn't even know his way back to town or his way home. What he's saying is the man is lost. The fool is lost. The fool's work wearies him, and he does not even know the way back to town. The foolish person who doesn't know God is lost. How true of the unbeliever who says in his heart there is no God. They are so lost, and they cannot find their way home. Let's read on verses 16 and 17. Woe to you, O land, whose king was a servant, whose princes feast in the morning, Blessed are you, O land, whose king is of noble birth, and whose princes eat at a proper time, for strength, who eat at a proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. Well, let's stop there. Solomon is reverting back to a topic he's covered extensively through this book, and that is having the right attitude towards authority or government or kings in this situation. But we should be living in peace with authority because, as we preached on many messages ago, the authorities have the power to compel you. So it's better to live in peace and be obedient before that compulsion takes place. But I know that some governments are simply hard to live with. And again, not to revert too much, because we did preach a lot on government, but there are some governments or administrations, some politicians that are quite simply incompetent. They're impulsive. They don't think before they speak, or they're simple-minded. Some leaders and authorities are naive or vain. They are untrustworthy, and they are weak. And some are all of those things wrapped up in one. But God tells us to obey those kings, those authorities, those governments, because God put them into place. And just a quiz question, when is it okay to disobey the laws and the rules of the governments and the kings and the laws when they are in contradiction to the word of God? Otherwise, God says we need to obey them, no matter how much we don't like them. There is perhaps nothing more detrimental to a nation than to be run and ruled by governments that have weak, incapable leaders. And so here Solomon says, blessed is the free king, the one who is not subject to being mastered. True kings or governments or presidents or even pastors should be free to be who they were called to be. I know a lot of churches that hire their pastors and then hold them, they restrict them and bind them with what they can or cannot preach about, and it just does nothing but hinder who God made them to be. And the same goes for governments and leaders and that sort of things. All right, let's look at verse 18 and 19, try to get this chapter done before we run out of time. If a man is lazy, the rafters sag. If his hands are idle, the house leaks. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes life merry, but money is the answer for everything. Wow, that's a good word. A feast is for laughter, and wine to make life merry, and money is the answer to everything. That doesn't sound like a wise man, actually. But here we see that working and keeping busy, building, you know, keeping constructive, it's what keeps a nation strong. When a nation is given over to the reliance upon government, and when they promote non-working, handout-type mentalities, Solomon says, the rafters will sag. Verse 20, do not revile the king, even in your thoughts, or curse the rich in your bedroom, because a bird on the air may carry your words, and a bird on the wing may report what you say. So what is he saying here? Well, you ever have somebody say, how did you know I said that? Well, a little birdie told me so. That's where they get this from. That's that old saying, a little birdie told me so. It's from this one scripture right here. That's the origin of that phrase. But back then, the governments would bug your home, not with electronic devices, but with people listening. They had spies all over the place. And I remember we were at a restaurant one time, and my wife wanted the waitress for something, and she said to me, you know, if she would just stop by the table instead of flying by. And of course, just then, that's when the waitress was at the table and heard everything she said. You know, be careful what we say, because somebody just might overhear what we were saying. That could be to our own detriment. Well, that just about finishes up the... Well, that does finish up chapter 10. I want to invite you over to the Wash and Word hand car washing business here in Churchill, and let us work to earn the money that it takes to keep this ministry going and these messages on the air. Remember, Sunday night at Abundant Life Fellowship on Old Union Road, you can hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching. I preach there Sunday nights at 6 p.m. And go to washandword.com if you have any questions or information that you need. Have a blessed day,
and we hope to see you. Let me know you're hearing these messages when you come by. Bye-bye.